Good afternoon. Welcome to Channel Radio, to the Business Bunker Show. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
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 Well, we had a mystery this morning, didn't we?
We had a mystery.
Quite a few mysteries, but as I was polishing with my method...
It was the butler.
Butler,
I've seen that. Scooby-Doo, yeah.
It's the missing biscuit tin.
Oh, the missing biscuit tin.
Very upsetting.
Yeah, she put a message on. She put a message on our WhatsApp group going, who nicked the biscuit tin? And Keith said, I did, because it's mine.
Well... I just think it's a bit of a tease, isn't it, to bring it in and then, you know, we all enjoyed it for a few weeks and then it just
disappeared,
it whisked it off.
We could have our own biscuit tin. We've got biscuits, we just haven't got a tin.
Well, we've got ginger nuts this morning and we've got some...
I don't care about that, we were talking about that earlier.
Why? Ginger nuts? Oh, that's another show, Paul Andrews.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
think, you know, if your collar and cuffs don't match,
exactly,
you know
yeah,
where to
yeah.
go with that.
Yeah.
Mine do, by the way, if anybody's listening. But I did bring in the old shortbread biscuit tin from a couple of Christmases ago.
Yep.
But it's too slim, isn't it, to get your biscuits in?
You can't
in.
Get many biscuits in there, yeah, that's true.
You can't, unless you take them all out of the wrapper and lay them flat, and then you can.
Shall we buy a biscuit barrel?
Let's go wild.
Let's go wild. Let's buy a Christmas biscuit barrel.
Biscuit barrel,
biscuit
yeah.
Biscuit barrel.
I think so. And I did like the one that, who was it? Which one of our presenters?
Keith. Yeah.
I did like Keith's. I think that's...
It was quite nice.
It was a pleasant one.
It was pleasant.
You
yeah.
could get cake in there as well, you see. That's
could
why
you?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Had plenty of room. You could put shelves in even and have it sort of itemised. Cake, biscuits, sweeties. Chocolates.
We did have some sweeties here just a while ago as well. I don't know where they've gone. Somebody's
God,
eating them.
I went to... where did I go yesterday? I went to the Aldi. Why did I go? I can't remember. There was a reason I went to. Oh, yeah, frozen fruit. I needed some frozen fruit.
Right.
And in a little bag. Because the Marks and Spencer's one, I don't know whether you saw, I tweeted them. I was furious with them because I put a frozen fruit in my little smoothie Monday to Friday, and then Saturday, Sunday's egg and bacon, of course. Sometimes Friday, Saturday, Sunday's egg and bacon. And if we're at low ebb, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday's egg and bacon.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
However, we'd run out of frozen fruit to top the smoothie, so I had the M&S one, which comes in a plastic, little plastic tray, and then a bag. And it's really annoying because then... When you want to put it back in the freezer, you have to find your own bag because their bag's all ripped and stuff. So it's annoying because I like...
So you got annoyed with Marks and Spencer's?
Yeah, because... Right. And they said they take it into account and tell their buyers. Because if it's in a bag, you can peg it, can't you, and put
yeah,
it back.
Yeah,
do you
yeah.
use pegs in your freezer?
No.
To seal a bag? How do you seal a bag? Just tie a knot in it?
Who has bags? I don't have bags in my freezer.
Well, what do you
bags
put...
Of what?
Well, if you open a... bag of peas, for example, you look like a pea man to me.
I leave it in a bag of peas.
Yeah, but don't you seal it? So
no,
then when you bring it out, don't they all fall all over the floor?
Yeah.
Oh, you don't mind?
No. The dog likes them.
Yeah, of course. And then does the dog get wind from the peas? Probably.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know that we had a lovely, you know, the pond building that we've been doing since September,
yeah.
the
yeah.
new husband.
Yeah.
I'll give you a latest update on it.
I thought it was finished.
It's all finished.
I thought you had fish in it.
We have.
Right.
This lady from, have you ever been on Nextdoor?
A lady.
No. She is a lady. From
Who's Nextdoor? I've been to my Nextdoor.
Nextdoor is an app of all your neighbours.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she put on that she had her pond had leaked. And she had to get rid of all her fish, right?
Right.
So she had hundreds of people and then she chose us.
Right.
And she asked for a picture of said pond. So we sent her a picture of our
lovely
pond.
Does she come and visit?
She has been to visit.
Comes and visit her fish.
She has been. She has been,
yeah.
As it happens. And I'll tell you why I'm on this story now, and it will all become apparent to the listener that this is all, you know, this is not just a ramble.
Really?
No, because I know.
That's a first.
I know, because Wayne Cullington.
Kane Wellington. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How did I even do that? I've just renamed him.
Yeah.
Well, he was saying this morning, I said, we've got two pre-records and a live guest, who's the lovely Karen Stanley, who is, you can follow her on at K Stanley Writes. See what she did there? Tells you what she does.
Yeah, yeah, it's good,
very clever.
Isn't it?
Yeah, so you can follow her. And there's a little photo of her I've just tweeted at. So I said to him, we've got Karen in the studio and two things. And he said, no doubt, Paul and you will be you'll be upsetting the whole schedule and changing it, and Paul will get annoyed. And I said, probably, yeah.
I've literally just changed it because of what you said.
Yeah. So anyway, these fish, Paul Andrews, were not just...
I remember them.
Because I bought four little...
They came from next door, didn't they?
Next door. Right. So I bought four little goldfish because they're quite expensive. It's about 30 quid for four little tiddlers.
Yeah.
And we'd put them in. We call one of them Rambo because he's always up there. The others are all hiding. Ooh, it's a big pond. But Rambo is always up there sunbathing and ruling the roost. And he eats and everything. But then she said to me, I've got a maintenance fish man or a fish pond maintenance man who will deliver them once we'd sent the pond picture and she'd approved it. She loved the pond. So long story short, then a pond maintenance man brought them. These are not just any fish. I hope there's no burglars listening. There is a 25-year-old koi.
Right, okay.
So old as our youngest kid.
Is your pond big enough for that?
Well, it's big enough for me and the new husband to go and drink
prosecco. I know you sat in it during the summer.
It is big. It is quite deep, but we've got lots of shelves for frogs and things.
Because carp, which goldfish are, will grow to the size of the environment they're in.
They don't need a massive pond.
No, they don't.
No, you haven't seen this one. I thought this was a rock.
My mum has carp, and they are
kois. You mean?
Yeah, like they're big. Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
I'm showing you with my hands, and obviously people on the radio can't see, but they're
huge.
Massive. Yeah. And her pond's not enormous. She's had them for years, but I didn't think you could move them.
No,
because like if she moved or you know they didn't want the pond anymore,
I'll give you the pond maintenance man. It was
a
big job.
They're precious, aren't they?
They are. So he brought them in like polystyrene stuff one at a time.
Oh yeah.
He was very stressed. It was quite dramatic. I've got a film. Well, the new husband's got a film. And he released them and they love the pond because they've been in like a paddling pool holding pond for a while because their pond was leaking. But when I went to visit them, because she had wanted me to go and visit them first, I went and visited them. I thought it was a big white rock. I didn't realise it was huge. So there's a mummy, a 25-year-old, and then there's a baby, which looks like a goldfish.
Yeah.
And then there's another big thing.
Have you ever been to Bodiam Castle?
No, do you want to take me?
Oh, that is so lovely. Love Bodiam.
Yeah.
Is it open now?
Yeah.
Should be, yeah.
It should be, yeah.
I'd like
but in
writing it down.
In the moat, they've got the most massive koi carps. They're the size of great white sharks.
Yeah.
This is huge. They're quite scary, I find them.
If you throw bread into the moat at Bodiam Castle, they pile on top of each other with the ducks.
Bonfire.
And they're like, they stand about 4 feet out of the water because there's hundreds of them and they're massive.
There's loads.
And
a duck ate ice cream off my big toe at Bodiam Castle.
Did it?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
How groovy that is. A duck ate ice cream off your big toe. Do you often proffer your big toe to ducks?
Well, it was sunny, had flip-flops on and the ducks were mighty friendly. Husband thought it would be really funny to put a bit of ice cream on my toe to see if ducks like ice cream, and they do.
Do you think the husband's got a little fetish? It's an adult show after all. We actually
took a picture because it was quite the thing.
Yeah. What did it feel like?
We'll gloss over the fact that he actually said to Karen, do you want a duck?
An ice cream duck.
Yeah.
And what did it feel like? Was it beaky?
Yeah, it was quite beaky. No teeth.
No, and no tongue?
Do they have tongues?
Yeah, they do. Have you seen...
I haven't got to my story yet.
Yeah, well, shut up.
So the reason I got onto koi's was because the lady also said they like tinned peas.
All right.
You see, so that was why, because you said about frozen peas that you throw on the floor because you can't be bothered to peg your bag. Right. Do you peg your bag if you put it back in the freezer?
I actually have to say that pegs are my favourite kitchen implement.
You see?
Like I use pegs
for everything.
It's a girl
thing. Me too.
No, but my husband will take a bag of peas out of the freezer upside down.
Yeah.
And you just think, why would you do that?
That's what Paul does, you see.
Why would you do that?
I can tell. No. But pegs are amazing.
They're so useful.
And my daughter, when I used to go around to her little flat when she first bought it, she used to roar at me because she said, you know, I used to go in her cupboard and peg her bag of rice and things. And she'd say, Mum's been mad because there's pegs on it.
Yeah. It's a teacher thing, actually. Teachers like pegs.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not. Well, I'm a yoga teacher, so maybe.
So, it's a teacher
pegs
thing.
Are great. I'm going to get you some for Christmas.
I don't have many things in there that need pegs. I mean, the only thing that we have is some peas occasionally and some oven chips.
Oven chips don't tend to fall out like peas.
I bet you have frozen fruit. You must have frozen fruit.
What do you eat
of a night?
Chocolate. No. What would you eat frozen fruit?
I love frozen fruit. See, we often have, like, I've got some pears off my tree. So I do cooked pears with cinnamon and ginger. Beautiful. And then we add some frozen berries to it as well. And it just makes it, instead of having cake, which I want, of course.
Well,
we're not all slim like you, Karen. We have to work at it.
I mean, Amanda, my partner, she makes her own brownies. And she has brownies and ice cream in the evenings. I have cheese and crackers. You don't put that in the freezer.
No. If it was cheese and crackers or brownies or frozen fruit,
you wouldn't... Yeah.
Frozen fruit's not getting a look in.
Well,
I'd have
all of them. Yeah. Followed
I might
by
have frozen fruit on my brownies,
But I haven't mentioned that we also have custard on top, which is delicious. A vanilla custard. Oh,
basically a trifle.
Anyway, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. We'll maybe talk about business.
And I've rebranded Kane Wannington. What did I call him? Kane Wannington.
Kane Wannington.
Yeah, I mean, I think he sounds. I always think his name sounds a bit like he's in a Western. Wayne. Hey Wayne. Yeah. John Wayne.
Hey Wayne. No, that's a picture by John Constable, isn't it?
I'm sure he's listening. He said he's going to try.
John Constable? No, he died in 1791. Didn't he?
He's got good hearing.
Was he the one that did all the country portraits with cart horses and fields and things?
Yeah, Hey Wayne.
Wayne. Yeah. Well, Hey Wayne, I think he was going out shopping and had a trip.
Hey Wayne, thanks for listening.
Hey Wayne, see what you did there. But he said he was popping back because the Tesco Wi-Fi, he loses us sometimes. So he's gone back home especially to listen.
So he normally listens in Tesco?
Yeah, having a coffee, of course.
Oh, like not in frozen pecan.
Putting a peg on.
Excuse me, can you peg these?
You are now going to realise how important a peg is. Yeah. Pegs are not just for washing, are they, Karen?
Well, no, I don't have a washing line, so I wouldn't use pegs.
You don't have a what? How do you dry your clothes?
Tumble dry.
Oh, no.
I said that quietly.
Have you seen your energy bill?
Yeah, but if I was to iron...
I pop it out on the old line, and I find it quite useful. And well,
I've got a whirly gig.
I've got a dolly maid thing in our utility room, and Sheila maid, those wooden things that you haul up like.
Yeah.
So I've got one of them in my utility room.
Same kind of thing that you hang game on.
I've got a few pheasant. They're a bit whiffy.
Yeah.
It dries literally. I put it on there on little hangers and things, and it dries overnight. It's really good.
Yeah.
I will admit, I do use the tumble dryer sometimes for the old sheets because they're a bit big and, you know.
I just don't do ironing.
I haven't got the
paint. And the seagulls.
Oh, I don't iron.
All over my washing.
I haven't ironed since 1066.
I've got into putting on all of our domestic appliances overnight just on the hope that electricity is a bit cheaper overnight.
Is it, though? Economy 7?
Well, you have to have a smart meter and you have to sign up for cheap electricity overnight, which is a con, isn't it?
And you haven't got a smart meter.
No, I haven't. I'm not having one.
So what's the point of you doing it?
Well, I'm trying to tell you, but you won't let me get it.
I want to know.
Because electricity is marginally cheaper overnight because they can't store it, so they have to get rid of it. Anyway, I've taken to putting my dishwasher, washing machine and tumble dryer on overnight. Trouble is,
it makes
such a racket, you can't go to sleep.
Have you got them on time?
No, I put them on when I go to bed.
So you just press all the buttons. Well, I think it's normal to do the dishwasher last thing at night anyway.
Yeah.
The washing is quite good to put on overnight because then you can, if you hang it out on the line, as I often do, you can hang it out really early so it gets dry.
It all sounds like quite a lot of work.
Yeah.
It does, doesn't it?
But if you could have it on a timer, it would be fine. Mm. But years ago, there was Economy 7. And then when we switched to Utility Warehouse, I asked them and they said it didn't seem to be any cheaper, so...
Well, you can get Economy 7 still, but as I say, now you need a smart meter to make it work, and you don't want a smart meter, trust me.
I know, but I need to get rid of mine because you've only told me now and I've got one.
I mean, France made it mandatory. In France, it was mandatory that you had to have a smart meter. They rolled out 20 million smart meters only to find out none of them worked.
Why shouldn't you get a smart meter? Am I the last to know?
The problem, most of them don't work.
Right.
And the problem with them is they can control what you're doing through the smart meter. And that's the thing I have a problem with. That if they decide you've used too much electricity, they can just stop, turn it off.
Would they do that though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but.
So it's control?
Yeah, but most of them just don't work. They just do not work. My in laws have a smart meter and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And Trevor rang them and said, I've installed this smart meter. I can't find out how much electricity I'm using because it doesn't tell me. No, there's a problem with it. Right.
I have to say, Utility Warehouse is spot on at the moment with what we're using and what. The main thing was when we turned one boiler off. We've got three boilers in our house and we've got three floors. And we turned one boiler off in the summer, which is for our indoor pool. I was swimming in the sea, didn't need it. And our bill went right down. But now I've got it on again because I want to swim. So it's
cool. Right. Should we do some of this show?
Yeah. Well, Wayne has is listening in. He hasn't got upset about me changing his name. And he says, peg it, save it, I do, too. Who wants pee all over the floor, Paul Andrews?
Exactly.
Your peas, frozen peas, get it?
Mm-hmm. Pee. Oh, I've got it, I'm just ignoring it.
Yeah, and then he says, renamed and resexed, K indeed. and then how random today, ginger nuts and duck tongue.
Just sound a little bit dodged, doesn't
it? Yeah, well, it's typical, Jules, isn't it, when we're trying to do a business show. Right, I've had a tweet from the Business Diaries. And they say, can we have one of your very lovely Business Bunker shout-outs, please? Gemma Faircuff-Haynes is our latest guest on the podcast, and it's a great entrepreneurial story. And I love Gemma to bits. She's got a fantastic story to tell you. You ought to listen to the podcast, and you can do that by following The Biz Diaries. The Biz Diaries is their Twitter handle, and in that is a link to where their podcast can be found. I think, if I remember rightly, they're on Podbean as well. That's The Biz Diaries, and their latest podcast is with Gemma Faircuff-Haynes, who is the founder and owner of Orchard Employment Law.
Fabulous. And Kent Women in Business have a Christmas celebration.
They do.
You can join them and the brilliant Kent Women in Business for their Christmas celebration with inspiring keynote speaker, networking and a festive afternoon tea. It's at the Bula Lounge, Christine House, which is in Raynham in Gillingham. M for Mother, E88, P for Peter, and T for Tango. And you can book by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
I was a finalist at the Kent Women in Business Awards last year.
Oh, well done.
Yeah. It was very nice, too. We had very nice food, as I remember, and a jolly, jolly little evening.
I used to go to that on a regular basis. I haven't been for a few years.
Yeah, it was a good night. It was really, so many, like, some really inspiring people. Yeah. Like, some of the women, things they'd done, it was just unbelievable. It was a really good evening, actually.
Mm. I haven't been to a networking thing for ages and ages. I used to do all of them and, you know, BNI and all the things. But, I've got very lax, actually.
Cool.
I'll often go if there's an afternoon tea or a Prosecco on offer.
Oh, well, you would, wouldn't
you?
Yeah. Right, Chips and Dinks have tweeted, happy Business Bunker Day. Have a fabulous show, as always, all of you. Entrepreneurship, news. Looking forward to hearing from Karen. And they've got a lovely little gif of some undescribed animal playing music on a radio station.
Undescribed animal?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Is it a gif?
It is a gif, yeah. I don't know what the animal is. It could be anything. Okay. It looks a bit like an orange bear.
I've seen a few, actually, tweets. Zeenat Noorani is listening, you know, because she wasn't very well. She had a little op.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's listening. She's obviously recuperating. And she says, please, may I have a... Well, she says, first of all, we're her favourite presenters. I think that's cupboard love, don't you? But please, may I have a huge, big shout-out to all the amazing people in my life who support me, inspire me, and are just simply there when needed. Thank you, Jules Serkin, Vanilla Web, and B Bunker. So, yeah.
That's nice.
Hope you're feeling better.
Thank you, Zeenat. Yeah.
Yeah, and I hope you're taking your arnica and all that. I was telling her about arnica and to take it.
Were you? Anyway, I've had enough of listening to you.
Have you? You're going to play tunage?
I'm going to play some cheesy tunage. It's a really easy one, this one. And after the cheesy tunage, we're going to talk to Chooks Uwachia. And Chooks was one of the folks that I caught up with at the Business Terrace in Maidstone.
And were you out on the terrace?
No, because it was raining. We were inside. And Chucks was one of the people that we interviewed in our series of interviews from the Business Terrace, and he runs Kent Housing. Yeah.
Oh, great. I'd love to hear about this.
And funnily enough, we didn't cover it in the interview because the news hadn't broken, but Chucks also does a lot of stuff in Medway for the homeless, and he just won an award for housing homeless people in Medway, which is fantastic.
I should contact him because on the Scoff and Quaff 6th of December, the Christmas show, I've got Whitstable Food Bank on. So I think there'd be a synergy there.
Yeah, there could be.
Could be.
Anyway, I've got Cheesy Tunage first, and it's a really easy one.
Is it Our House?
No.
Oh, it could have been. Oh, lives in a house, in a very big house in the country.
Yeah. Damon and the Boys.
Damon, Albarn.
Yeah.
I bet he uses a peg in his house in the country.
I bet he does, yeah. Yeah.
I'm a professional cynic, but living life at the limit. Caught in the centuries, anxiety. Yes, it fades on here. Watching afternoon repeats and the 38s in the country. He takes a manner of pills and piles up analyst bills in the country. Oh, it's like an animal farm, that's a rural charm in the country. He's got morning glory and life's a different story. Everything's going Jack and Jory.
There you go.
Lives in a house.
Blur. Yeah.
Pegging.
A big house in the country.
With pegs.
Absolutely. So I caught up with Chucks Uwachia, and Chucks runs Kent Housing. Shall we hear what Chucks had to say?
I'd love to. I'm very interested.
Here we go then.
Press the button.
I'm joined on the Business Bunker now by Chucks Uwachia. Chucks, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to see you.
Very much a pleasure. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Chucks, you're Kent Housing. Why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about you, Chucks, and then a bit about your business and what you do.
Okay, my name is obviously Chucks Uwachia, and I'm the CEO of Kent Housing. Been the CEO for Kent Housing for over 8 years. We provide accommodation for construction companies, film companies, the NHS, teachers relocating to Kent, all over Kent. So we're kind of like a short gap accommodation for anyone pretty much wanting to come to do, relocate to Kent, wanting to do business in Kent, for and they want to stay for 2 to 3 months instead of staying in an Airbnb, staying in the Premier Inn. We provide kind of like a home away from home. That's what we do.
So is that for people that are staying for kind of a longer period, you know, like weeks rather than days?
Yeah, I mean, we normally would accommodate people for, say, 2 days. It could be 2 days, it could be 3 weeks, it could be 3 months, it could be 6 months, yeah? So we're open to various options, yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah, pretty much so.
Okay, that's interesting. It's an interesting concept. I know you because we're connected on LinkedIn. And when you first started a business a few years ago, you were explaining to me, and I was being dumb. I go, well, how does that work then? How do you do that? Why don't they just book into a hotel? Yeah. And, of course, you explain why they don't do that and why it's better. Yeah. But just give us an overview of how your business actually works. So, you know, I understand the side of it where a corporate comes and says, look, we've got someone coming to Maidstone for 3 weeks. Where do you get the accommodation from?
A lot of the accommodations we get are from, we already have them in our portfolio. Yeah. So we have investors, private investors who come to us and bring properties to us, which we manage under our portfolio. So we encourage, obviously part of our advertising, what we do out there is to tell landlords who are struggling with renting their properties to come to us. We will look after it. We will manage it. So private investors, landlords are the main people we get properties from.
Okay, so if I bought myself a little house or a flat in Maidstone and I wanted to let it out, but I didn't want to kind of all the hassle of that, and I didn't want to write a long-term lease for someone, I can come to you and go, Chunks, I've got a house or a flat in Maidstone, here it is, sort it out for me.
Most perfectly. I mean, we would do what we can to assist landlords, and that's why we operate, because one of the things we have is that there is no rule. If you tell us that you want to rent your house for like say 1 year to us, we're more than willing to take it up for 1 year, because obviously we're not going to tie you into a contract for like 2 to 5 years contract. Preferably we want a long-term contract, but the idea of why we're different from an estate agent is that we're more flexible. Yeah, we're flexible with the deals. You know, you could tell us you want to rent it out to us for 9 months. We'd say, okay, bring it on board, let's rent it out for 9 months. So we're very, very much flexible in what goals you want to achieve. We help you to achieve your goal, really.
Hold on a minute then. Hold on a minute. This is sounding good, this. I'm liking the sound of this, Chucks. Yeah. So I was assuming that you just go, right, oh, well, I can find you a tenant for next week or whatever. But you're saying you will write me a contract for a specified period of time.
Yes. I mean, totally. That's what we do. We would write you a contract for at least, we always say a minimum of 6 months contract, yeah? Because obviously that gives us time to get the property out there to our clients and to generate some income out of it, you know? So so what we say is a minimum of at least 6 months contract. Maximum, we always say at least we get a 5 years contract, which is perfect, yeah? But like I said, every investor is different, yeah? Every investor has different objectives. So one of the key things we always say is, let's have a sit down. Let's have a chat. What are your objectives? Yeah. Some landlords will say, you know what, they don't want the pain of renting the property out themselves, the hassle of dealing with tenants, you know. We say, bring it to us. What we will do, yeah, we would understand what your objectives are and how best we can help you to achieve your goals, really. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, I like the sound of that. That's a fairly different concept, isn't it? And is there a lot of that about?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's a really, really fairly new concept. I mean, what we're doing, we're saying, well, how can we be different? What's our unique selling point, yeah? One of the key things we always say, we're not the estate agent on the high street, yeah, that sees you as a number. They do the deal and they go on to the next person, yeah? We build relationships, yeah? And what we always tell our clients, I mean, if you go to an estate agent, a tenant goes to an estate agent and they want to rent a property. I mean, I've had this banker from Switzerland he relocated to the UK trying to find accommodation, and they've told him that he needs to bring 1 year's deposit, that he has no because obviously he's not lived in the UK, he has no reference, he needs to go get some references. They made it quite a very difficult process for him to get a property. So what we've done, I mean, we got him on board and said, listen, just give us your work reference, you work, give us your pay slip, you earn a living, yeah, and that's it. Yeah, he secured the property, and he was saying, wow, he's never seen this before, you know. But that's a different concept we provide, yeah? So we make things easy for our clients to come on board, yeah, rather than make it difficult like the high street firms, yeah? So it's a completely different concept, and it's changing the way we do business now. And that's why, one of our theme is that we look after our clients. Clients are number one, yeah? And we find every avenue to make our clients satisfied with the service we provide.
Wow. I like it. I really like it. Now, did you say you've been doing this 8 years?
Yeah, so we've been in business for 8 years, yeah, and we cover pretty much all over Kent, yeah, from Dartford all the way to Margate, yeah. So we've been in business for 8 years.
Wow, how many properties you got under management at the moment?
So we have about 100 properties on our board.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so that's we're hoping to grow. That's why we welcome new investors, people who have properties that want to let it out. You're more than happy to give Kent Housing a ring.
Okay. Let me put you this. I'll put this to you, and you say, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But if I was a potential investor,
yes,
and I've got, I don't know, maybe I've inherited a few £100,000 or yes, whatever, I've got some loose cash, you
yes
know, yeah,
yes,
and I decided I wanted to acquire a property to let out in that way,
yes,
is that something you could help me with? If I came to you and said, look, I've got £300,000 to spend,
yes,
and you could go, right, I could find you a dog kennel for that in Maidstone.
Yeah, I mean, what we always do, I always tell people, one of the key things I always say is that, I mean, clients come to me, we get calls like that from various parts of various part of the country. People call us and they say, hey, we want to invest in Kent, can you give us some advice? I mean, I always tell people, our advice is free. Yeah, we don't charge for the advice. I will tell you, for example, I say, if you go to Medway is a hot rental place, yeah. In Medway, you've got 5 grammar schools, you've got 4 universities. The train goes into London King's Cross. I think it takes about 35 minutes London King's Cross. You know, it's the prime location for a lot of rental properties. So, I mean, a place like Medway's, it's hot potato, yeah. I mean, I will tell you, a place like Maidstone, obviously, you will pay more money. But it's quite difficult to, I mean, the properties are more expensive in Maidstone. So I'll give you all these options, yeah?
Yes.
And like I always tell people, yeah, even if you don't use Kent Housing, well, I'm more than happy to give you free advice, yeah? Because I always tell that when we give the advice out, yeah, and most times I say, go find anyone who will give you the further advice, you know? And if you compare our advice, you know, and you feel we're giving you better advice, come back to us, yeah? So I always say advice is one key thing we give out for free, yeah.
Okay.
And I always tell people how they can maximize their investment.
That's fantastic. So 8 years ago you founded the business.
Yes.
What was your background before that? What inspired you to move into this area?
Right, okay. Before that, I used to work for a property company, and I worked for Medway Council as well. And what happened was that a firm bought a property investors. A property investor in Medway, her firm was acquired by a big tire company, Upnot. So they wanted someone to come in to help them with creating a new avenue of business, which was in temporary accommodation. And she said she knew a guy who could do this, and that was me.
Right.
So she approached me, and I joined them as one of the directors of the company. And we grew the business to be one of the best temporary accommodation business in Kent. We actually grew that business quite dramatic. Oh, no, we grew it quite big, you know. And that's kind of how I started, you know. Then obviously I went away and started my one, and we've just grown Kent Housing, and just keeps growing. Yeah,
nice one. I like it. So you're on the search for investors and landlords, with properties in Kent somewhere. That's fantastic. Listen, Chooks, it's been fascinating talking to you. If people want to find out more about what you do, do you have a website?
Yes, yeah, so our website is kenthousing.co.uk. And you can obviously call us on 01634-566-333.
Fantastic. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Chooks. I love what you're doing. It's a really fascinating business. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us on The Bunker Show, and we wish you continued success.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thanks for interviewing me. Thank you. Cheers.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk. to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
So that was Chucks Uichia, who I caught up with at the Business Terrace in Maidstone, with his fantastic business on behalf of landlords and investors renting out property.
Excellent, yeah, that is brilliant.
And as I say, he not at that interview. I did the interview a couple of weeks ago, which is a bit sad, really, because shortly after that, Chucks won an award for the work he was doing with homeless people in Medway. And it would have been nice to have talked to him about that. So maybe I'll get him back on the show and we'll talk about that.
Exactly. I think it's we're now sort of planning 2023, aren't we, as well? It'd be good to have him on in the new year and discuss that. And as I said, I've got the old the Whitstable Food Bank on Christmas show, which is interesting because they delivered me some. They had some fish food that was given in and that's how I met them. Obviously, I know about the Whitstable Food Bank, but he came round and brought me some fish food.
And was it peas? Was it a bag of peas?
No, it
was. Was it a bag of peas with a peg on?
Yeah, a pegged bag of peas. No, they only like tin peas, apparently.
Oh, right, okay. Like marrowfat. I like a marrowfat pea.
Oh,
God,
no.
Do you not like...
I like
a marrowfat pea.
Bullet peas at school.
Yeah.
Do you like mushy peas with your fish and chips?
No.
Oh, yes.
No,
I do. I always have mushy peas.
No. Oh, mushy peas.
Yeah. My friend Haggis at school, she used to sit opposite
Haggis?
Me.
Haggis? Yeah. Was she Scottish?
No, but we called her Haggis. I don't know why. But she would eat my bullet peas and I would eat Brussels sprouts at school dinners because the bullet peas were just nasty.
I always remember school dinners. The best thing was the puddings, really, wasn't it? The puddings were always lovely.
I used to sell my puddings.
Did you?
Yeah. Did you?
Why?
Why
not?
Because it was the only way I could buy fags. That's why.
Which was healthier, the fags or the puddings?
I think the fags were healthier. I used to buy 5 Woodbine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I could buy 5 Woodbine with what I could sell my gypsy tart with pink custard.
Oh, I do love gypsy tart. You know, it's Kentish.
Yeah, yeah.
Gypsy tart.
Yeah, but that was the favourite. I've never been a dessert person, even when I was a kid. And
I love a pudding to round off.
The only one I couldn't shift was a salmonella. No,
semolina.
Semolina, that's him. Yeah. Yeah.
But even that's nice.
With a little spoonful of jam.
Yeah. The worst thing about it was, because I eat quite a bit of liver, lamb's liver and chicken liver, only organic for my thyroid. It's very good for thyroid health. All meat and fish is. But at school, it was always cooked so much, the liver. Do you remember? I used to hate liver at school.
It was rock hard.
Yeah. And then the mashed potato always had lumps in it, didn't it? It was always cold lumps.
You could have mashed it yourself, but they were a bit raw, weren't they?
Yeah. There was always lumps in it. I never knew. And then the dinner lady used to make you eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
My brother's just text to say, I think Haggis's dad was Scottish.
Oh, right.
Because she lived down the end of our road.
There must have been a reason.
She used to keep pigs, and she'd come to my mum's house to collect the peelings for her pigs. And
so you grew up rural. Really?
Mm. No, not really. It's just Haggis had pigs and she would bring her slop buckets to my mum's house and put them on a lounge carpet.
That was nice.
You're much younger than me, but it was obviously a thing. Cause
everyone's much younger than you.
We had a kid in my class called Haggis, but he was a big ginger and he was...
Where were you born? I was born in Enfield, but we grew up in Eyster Dries, which is like Mepham kind of way, isn't it?
So that's not that rural to keep pigs. I'm intrigued.
Not in our house, I don't think.
No, it must have been. People do, don't they? They do have little pigs in
their local.
House.
There was like a little local farmer's field near us. So I think she kept them there.
Yeah, a small holding type thing.
Yeah.
Well, our school had a slop bucket. We used to have to scrape it in and it was collected for the pigs. They don't do that anymore, do they?
Well, they do. The school just down the road from me.
Still?
I can't remember. It's got Homewood at Tenterson. They've got a farm. They've got a farm.
So they give it to the
grounds.
Piggies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. I had another interview at the Business Terrace.
You've been a busy thing.
I have. And this time I caught up with Steve Noyes. And Steve runs Lighting of London.
I'd love that.
Yeah. Should we have a listen to what he's got to say?
I'd love to know what he's doing.
Yeah. Let's hear what Steve has to say.
Is it a light bulb moment?
It is. It was very bright.
Yeah.
I'm joined now by Steve Noyes of Lighting of London. Steve, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having us.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's good to meet you. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about Steve and then a little bit about Lighting from London?
Okay. Lighting of London.
Lighting of London, yes. So, okay, a little bit about me. Where do we start? So, I sort of sprung to life as an electrician. And then over the years, as I sort of come out my time, smart home and sort of connected home technologies started to come about and more prominent in the industry. So I sort of diverted into that. Built up quite a bit of an understanding of intelligent lighting systems and lighting design from that, and spent many years implementing systems within sort of large residential situations. But I was quite unique because of also my electrical background, that's the thing. So I was quite, you know, I was quite in demand, which I was quite lucky with. And then from that, it sort of naturally went into manufacturing of the products, developing the products that we were using, because they quite weren't up to the lighting design was relatively new. You know, I'm going back sort of 20 years, and the products weren't really keeping up with them, what we needed to do with them on the actual projects that we were working on. So, yeah, my brain thought, right, okay, I can go and do this myself. We started working with, you know, sort of metalwork companies. Obviously, technical, you know, we brought the chipsets in. And it sort of built into this lighting of London that we do now.
This is fantastic. I love this. So you're an electrician, as you say, which helps an awful lot. And you were doing smart homes, so you kind of coloured light bulbs and all that nonsense.
Basically, in the early days, it was. This is going back when it was incandescent lighting. So it was like the old fashioned light bulb. And maybe like a halogen, you know, a low voltage halogen lamp. But, you know, and then obviously LED come along a few years later, and that sort of changed the game as well. And it changed the products and what you could do with them. Everything condensed in size, and you could put them in lots and lots of different places. That's where the design came in. And then obviously me being me, I just sort of quite like the idea of, you know, manufacturing these things and developing in, you know, taking them sort of through the development stage and then supplying other, you know, and that's what we do now and have done for years. So we just supply other lighting designers, electricians, smart home companies, interior designers, with all of our products.
That's fantastic. I mean, funnily enough, I mean, I know it's a kind of side issue, but things like smart speakers, Alexa and stuff like that has had a massive benefit for us in the radio industry. As an internet radio station, our listener base has gone through the roof because people listen on a smart speaker now. You know, they just go play channel radio and bang, there it is, which is fantastic. But I'm fascinated how you've moved from kind of doing this smart rooms type of stuff to manufacturing. I mean, what kind of products are you making? How are you doing it? Where are you doing it?
Well, it's again, like, you know, my life, you know, I suppose I'm trying to condense a lot of history here, but it, again, the manufacturing part was born out of sort of the mad inventor brain within me. And when I was doing the lighting design and the smart home kind of work, I went off and I developed a product, something called Syncbox. And we were really quite lucky. So I took that onto Dragon's Den and was successful there. But that basically paved the way to learn all the things I had to learn about manufacturing and development. And that sort of springboarded me into the lighting, you know, developing the lighting products, really, yeah.
Right, so it was called Syncbox, did you say?
It was, yeah, it was called Syncbox. Yeah, that was the actual product name. And this was way back, this is 8 years ago now. So, you know, it's been a while. But, we were quite lucky to get back in. And then subsequently we sold that company. And again, it sort of gave me all the knowledge I needed and the confidence to go ahead and produce all these
things. Right, so let me deconstruct it. This is interesting stuff, Steve. So you developed a Syncbox, and if I remember rightly, it's a way of putting in electrical connectors that basically didn't require you to do something different every time. And you got back in on Dragon's Den?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we were quite lucky. So we got backed by Deborah Meaden, and yeah, had a really good working relationship for all them years. And as I say, a few years ago, we managed to exit. As I say, going over it, but all that information was, you know, all that learning curve, you can't, you know, and obviously Deborah's help and who we're working with, and you learn so much and you gain so much experience. So it really does give you the confidence to go off and do a project like this we did some years ago, where really it was, because it's always been my love, the lighting side of things, and to try and do, you know, in my head, to try and do things better than all the people out there at the minute were offering, and I've used most of them as well. So, and I believe we can do that, and with a new, fresh approach. So we really come into it quite fresh. But obviously, you know, it's my background, and it is the technical aspect of all the fittings. So yeah, we know we easily compete on that. So if we, and we know our service is good as well.
So. Right then, Steve. So give us a heads up. What's in your brain at the moment? What are you planning at the moment? Where are you going? And what's world domination for Steve next?
Okay, so we've just developed a new range of what we call MagTrack. This is quite exciting. So this is we've only just launched it. So this was approximately 8 weeks ago now, and this is really sort of. Taken a lot of people sort of it's really opened the eyes up a lot of people that we want to deal with in terms of what we do. It showcases what we do quite well. So they're coming on board. Yeah. The next, I don't know, just continue and sort of get the message across that we are, it's a bit of a cliche, but we are different. And, you know, we're going back to that proper service element where, it's easy to contact us, it's easy to deal with us, we treat everyone the same, no matter what, and we're all here to, you know, help each other out, and that's what we try and do, in, you know, in the back end, yeah.
I love it. The products at the moment that you're manufacturing, I'm presuming you don't do it here in the business terrace, where do you do that?
Okay, so we do it in a few various places, but it's all based in... it's all based in the UK, and some of it's fairly local to where we are now. So we've got our main showroom and offices up in the Lotts Road, in just off King's Road in Chelsea. We have offices here, which are sort of local offices, because obviously hybrid working now is really good, and it's good for me because I live local as well. So it's great that I don't have to do that commute now. So we split our time between the two. Manufacturing, so that's done. We've got a place down in Ashford that does most of our metal work. We've got a place in Sittingbourne that does our powder coating. They all come together. Our main warehouse and pick and pack and dispatch is based in Paddock Wood. Right. So we're quite locally based, yeah. So we've got full control. What it does mean, we've got full control over everything that we produce. We can adapt, and, you know, we keep fantastic stock levels all the time. We're quite good at what we do, really, but yeah.
That's fantastic. What a brilliant story. I love it. It's really good stuff. Steve, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure's all mine. Thanks for having me. Great.
Great. Can people look at the type of things you do? Have you got a website or something where people can check out what you do?
Yeah, we certainly have, yeah. So the website, it displays all our products and services. It's constantly being revamped, obviously, for, you know, like everyone else. Keep checking it for new products and information. We keep it up.
What's it called?
So it's lightingoflondon.co. And just you'll find us. We're all over Google. So
fantastic, Steve. Thank you so much. I love that story. That's brilliant. Thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you continued success.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks.
There you go. That was Steve Noyes of Lighting from London talking about their lighting design and all the kind of neat things they do. And they got a big shop in the King's Road in Chelsea.
Oh, it's a long time since when I lived in Clapham Junction when I was a kid, 20, 21. The old King's Road. I used to love the King's Road. Yeah, I used to see Bob Geldof there and strolling down and sit there. I think it's changed a bit now.
It has. Not a huge amount. I mean, I go there quite a lot, obviously, because I go to football. But... it's okay. Yeah, one of my favourite restaurants is still in the King's Road. It's Benihana's.
London's changed a lot, though, hasn't it? Kind of, you know. I notice when I'm down there, I love London because everybody dresses differently. So around here, everybody's like wears navy or black or whatever. But in London, everybody's a bit more individual. Colourful. I kind of like that. Yeah, it's a little bit of vibe going on, depending on where you are. Because the youngest is now looking, he was looking in Greenwich for a mouse hole, at an extortionate price, and now he's moved down to, he's looking at New Cross and what did I say, Deptford.
Yeah,
a little bit more grungy, I guess.
No, they're all, I mean, there isn't anywhere grungy in London anymore. They're all upmarket. When I worked in Lewisham, I mean, it was the pits.
And I first started teaching in Hackney.
Oh, lovely.
That was why I got a mobile phone, because it was a little bit dicey of a dark winter's night, but it's very up and coming now.
Oh, yeah. E8, is that?
Yeah, my youngest lives in Hackney, and he shares a house with three mates, and they pay like 1,500 quid a month each for a room.
Oh, you couldn't buy a shoebox in Hackney.
You know,
what did you teach?
I was a primary school teacher for
basically.
And then I was an assistant head teacher for about 5 years. So I did that for like just over 20 years.
Wow. You look too young.
We'll talk about that some more in the second half of the show.
Yeah.
Just before we join the newsroom, I want to catch up with some of the tweets. And we've got dozens of emails to read. I mean, you can't shut her up talking about goldfish and pegs and peas. I mean, what's it like? Eh? Sarah Marsh Collins has said, catch you all later on the Business Bunker show. And she's given me a gif of Shaun the Sheep. Well, thank you for that. The lovely folks at What's On in Kent, which is a brilliant app. Please download their app, What's On in Kent. They say, can we have a Business Bunker shout out as per usual? Busy week so far with our team. Lots of places to see and things to do across Kent. Have a good show, guys. So thank you for that. Do download the app, What's On in Kent. It tells you everything that's going on around here. And you need to know that. Martin Reeves. Martin had a poor night last night, I happen to know. So
had a what night?
A poor night. He was a bit unwell.
Not well.
Yeah, so I hope you feel better now, Martin. But he says, I'd love a Business Bunker shout out, please. And I'm listening live. So,
and you know our friend Dan Juby Spinnerjet, he got stuck on the
M25. Not again.
Yeah, and I feel sorry for him because he's trying to get from A to B to work, to earn money, to pay the mortgage. I was listening to the traffic announcements this morning on Radio 2, and I can only bear to listen to about two shows on Radio 2 now. I must be getting very old. But I was listening to the lovely Ken Bruce, and there were demonstrations, Dartford Tunnel, all over the M25.
What makes me laugh with all these just oil people, apart from this?
Don't they have jobs?
No, apart from the stupidity. No, of course they're not. They're Trustafarians. What makes me laugh is they allege that they glued their hands to the road. There is no glue on the market, none whatsoever, that will glue your hand to tarmac. There is not. It just
if there was,
exist.
I'd love that glue because I've got things falling apart in my house.
It just doesn't exist. No. It makes you laugh. And there was
so if the police never sort of lifted their hand up?
The police have a special glue removal unit.
Oh.
And the police aren't allowed to remove your hands unless the glue removal unit are there.
Mm.
Unlike the French gendarmes who just drag you away anyway, which is there's some great video of the same people in France doing it, and the French gendarmes don't have any truck with any of that.
They could borrow me dog. She's great at tug of war. She'd have them off in a few seconds.
Tell us what she's a little French.
She's not little. She's a dog thing. De Bordeaux crossed with an English Mastiff. So she's French and English Mastiff.
She's a massive Mastiff.
Yes, 8 stone of love machine.
We've got a dress box. Would love a shout out. Did you read that?
I was literally just going to read it.
Yeah,
so
well,
you can
I've
read
it. You to the post. So they say, I'm just following them back, providing businesses correspondence addresses across the United Kingdom. Their little website is address. That's very clever. See what they did there? EDDRESBox.com. They're providing a business service. So their first location is 18 Herne Bay.
There you go.
So there you go.
They're based in Canterbury.
Address box.
Yeah.
So it's like a little, it's a post box for mail which can be collected within one of many locations.
Yeah.
And they plan on enrolling more partners throughout the year. So they're, this is a, looks like a little shop.
Yeah.
You know, what do you call it? A small shop, indie shop.
They partner with people that provide the mailboxes for them. Yeah.
Great idea.
Yeah. Terry Thorpe has been on, saying a very professional presentation this morning from Zoe Cairns at the Tenterton Chamber of Commerce. Lots of valuable information.
Saw Zoe Cairns last night. I was watching the 6 o'clock news, and then they had the local news. I was watching it about long COVID because I've got long COVID from the AstraZeneca. So they've apparently, this hospital is you know, specialising in London, but it didn't come on the news. But I did see Zoe Cairns come on.
Absolutely.
Talking about, I think, was it TikTok?
I think she's talking about online hacking, isn't she?
Yeah, yeah, TikTok. She was talking about.
There was the dog groomer that was on TikTok, and she had amassed a
grooming
a big
dogs,
following.
That's terrible, isn't it?
That's kind of what you're supposed to do, isn't
a
it?
A dog groomer.
I thought that was yeah.
That's how it works.
And they, apparently they spammed her saying that she could get a verification, and she clicked, and then they blackmailed her and took all her followers and everything, and she was very upset. But Zoe was on. But it was very annoying because she was on first, and I said to my new husband, oh, look, it's Zoe. And he goes, oh, yeah. And then they had her in the background with no sound while the newsreader was waffling on, which was really annoying because I wanted to hear what Zoe was saying.
Yeah.
I think it was they miffed it, but, yeah, she's a star.
She is. She's very good, is Zoe. Right. You've got a chance to read one email and one email only.
Okay.
And you've got to be quick.
So a new luxury glamping by the river in a secluded location offering tourists peace and quiet under dark skies is being planned on the banks of the Stour near Canterbury, where leisure boat owners moor their craft. And there are fishing and shooting opportunities. I wonder who they'll shoot. The owners of the site at the Port Farm Marina off Island Road at Upstreet have applied for planning permission for 4 luxury camping pods and 15 camping pitches. Very exciting for the River Stour.
Mm. Fantastic. Social Enterprise Kent Conference 2022. This autumn, the Social Enterprise Kent are delighted to invite you to join us at our Buy Local, Buy Social Conference. We'll be bringing together organisations from across Kent to explore the importance of buying from local businesses, social enterprises and charities. It's taking place at the Ashford International Hotel on Friday the 18th of November from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you want to find out more, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar, you will find a link to it there where you can find out all the details and to book your ticket.
Very, very important to shop local. I was just saying, even if you just buy a little card, we've got some great indie shops, and if you don't support them, you won't have them anymore.
Yeah. Chandra Sharma is hosting a networking event today, actually, at the Springhead Road, Ebbsfleet, and it's from 6 to 8 p.m. this evening. Tickets are only £5, and if you go to eventbrite.com/Kent networking event, you'll find the tickets there.
Lovely. And a building company is about to create 35 new jobs as it revealed a multi-million pound investment into a new factory in Sittingbourne. We like to hear about this. It's Wienerberger, which provides wall, roof and landscaping products. And they've announced plans to invest 30 million in a new concrete roof tile manufacturing facility at its Smead Dean site. So that's near Sittingbourne.
It is.
So that's good. That's great. How many jobs? 35 new jobs, they say. Mm. Sure, it'll be more than that in the end.
I'm sure it will.
Fabulous.
Yeah, nice one. Cool. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we've got a fantastic guest in the studio to talk to. We're going to talk to the lovely Karen Stanley. And I'm sure we'll have some fun. And
she's a Whitstabilian, you know.
She is. And Jules has only just found out. And unfortunately, Karen's now going to be stalked because...
I've blown my cover.
By a greyhound.
You have blown your cover. She now knows you're there and